If you've lived or holidayed in the same place along the coast for a while, you might have seen significant erosion over the years, wild weather and high tides, and a process called headland bypassing are combining to wash away some of our most iconic beaches. Let's find out what can be done about that. And if there's a stretch of coast that you love, is erosion an issue that you've had to grapple with? You can tell us what changes you've seen on our Facebook page. There might also be issues around planning. What are the solutions, in your view, on our coasts? In Byron Bay, that erosion has spread to the main beach. Lifesavers are now saying that will be more dangerous in the future because they can't get rescue equipment onto the sand anymore. Simon Richardson has been grappling with this for some time. He's the mayor of Byron Shire. Simon, thanks so much for joining us today.
Our pleasure.
Tell us how your approach to managing this erosion locally has changed over time and some of the speed bumps you've encountered along the way.
Well, it's been a long and arduous journey. I've been on council for about 13 years and we've been working on a coastal zone management plan that whole time. The names of that has changed and the requirements have changed. We did put a submission in, a fully fleshed out plan, and then had to withdraw it as some residents near the town of Byron had legal action underway to try to protect their wall, protect their homes with walls. Then a few years later, we did another one and sought to excise that area and let the rest of the Byron Bay embayment go through from a coastal zone management plan perspective. And after the minister originally agreed to that, the new minister, under a bit of pressure perhaps from those landowners, decided we needed to start again. So we're now doing a coastal management program, which we hope to complete in the next year and a half. So it's been a long journey, and that's just for the Byron area. We haven't even had a chance to really get to the Brunswick Heads or Suffolk Park or other beach areas and coastal areas in the Shire.
And so when you say coastal management, Simon, is that an approach where you kind of let the beach move as it will and deal with it, or is it one where you try and shore up the sand and keep it in the same spot?
Well, it really depends. What it is actually having a strategy to manage the coast, and it could have various responses to it. Some beaches allow for beach scraping, which is getting sand sort of from the waterline and pushing it back up to the dune. We do that in New Brighton. Other areas, sand transfer, getting sand from one beach or offshore and putting it onto the beach can be an option. That's less of an option for Byron. Protection works, obviously rock or hard protection works. We currently have at Main Beach. And then we've also had really for 15 years a position of planned retreat where we acknowledge there's some beaches which can't be protected. And so we need dwellings and any buildings to be built that can be relocated. That was very groundbreaking and considered quite controversial in its day, but now it's a pretty regulation consideration by most coastal councils as the realities of what we can stop and what we need to let evolve becomes clearer.
And it must be such a difficult task for local government in that area. There are lots of different stakeholders and people with very strong emotional attachments to the beach as well as assets that they want to protect. Simon, you talked about this rock wall that went in. That was expensive and contentious. How did that go with easing the problem?
Well, look, we've got a rock wall at Main Beach, which has really been in place now for quite a few decades. And that wasn't particularly contentious because I guess it was just considered that Byron Bay cannot, go under, that the town itself was just too financially and culturally, socially important. So, the walls that, the rocks that sort of protect the car park and the main street are relatively contentious-free. And now we're working with the community starting a process of redesigning what that would look like. Obviously, the engineering capacity of those walls are sort of failing now, so it needs to be rebuilt and realigned. And so we're going through that process as to what's the best alignment and what's the best design style that meets our needs as a community, but also does its job. Belongil is a few kilometres to the north, and that has predominantly residential properties. And that has been contentious because over the years they've sought to have, put their own walls to protect their own property. And that really has brought up that question of, private owners' abilities to protect themselves compared to, a community's right to have a beach. Because when you put walls generally on the sand, you lose the beach in front of it. We've also got some temporary bags and walls happening in the area called Clark's Beach, which is protecting Reflections Caravan Park and a restaurant that's on the Dunal system. And we had a meeting with ministers only a week or so ago to request that those temporary bags can just be allowed to stay for up to 2 years while both organisations can plan to retreat back from the dune system. So even within the Byron Bay embayment, there's two or three different forms of protection works, and some are contentious and some are less so.
And Simon, what do you think the town's going to look like in a few years as this strategy of planned retreat moves forward? Will it make much difference to how people see the town?
Look, I think most people won't notice a real difference in Byron Bay itself. As I said, there's no real appetite to retreat completely from protecting town. So currently, there are sort of a failed series of rocks in front of the car park, and towards the surf club area. That will just be formalised. We'd like to bring in some beautiful design aspects in that, so it's both robust from an engineering point of view, but also isn't just some massive concrete wall. We want to make it as soft as possible. So that, if anything, will just sort of formalise beach access points. You mentioned earlier that surf lifesavers are having increasing problems to get access to the beaches. So around the Byron main beach area, that will just be formalised and I think hopefully beautified. Further along, most people won't notice the difference other than, a restaurant that's now sort of very visible from the beach on the dune will just be 30 or 40 metres back. It really won't have a massive effect, but it will obviously for those organisations that will become safer.
And Simon, I saw you on ABC TV before, windswept and a bit rain-drenched with the microphone in your hand, telling us what it was like today. What's it been like for you these past few days? You've been involved in these discussions for so many years. You've been trying to put these strategies in place. What have the last few days been like for you seeing this weather move through?
Yeah, look, it's probably a couple of, a sadness and a frustration are probably the two main emotions. I mean, sadness in that, there's a beautiful beach that's been, been pummeled that, I, like so many others who found their way to Byron to live from southern cities, first fell in love with, the area, standing at Main Beach and looking out at the ocean and the beach and the mountains beyond. So, we've all got such a connection to that beach, and to watch it being really ravaged is a sad moment. There was a few old locals that had had a tear in the eye. Even though we know it's going to recover, it's still not a pleasant sight seeing trees that dune care groups had put in 30 years ago hit the water. But also frustration because really for the last two or three years we're just getting increasing amounts of climate change led extreme weather events one after another. What used to be every couple of years are now becoming every couple of months. We've had bushfire, drought, coastal erosion, floods, the weather event these last few days. So frustration really that, we're living climate change. It's only going to get worse. And, where we have an opportunity to seize any, all the employment and all the economic activity that can come from responding to climate change, as well as just the leadership to make sure we give our kids a decent Australia to grow up in. It's frustrating that there's such a leadership vacuum in this space. And, I'd love the Prime Minister or anyone else to come to this region and tell us as they look at the coastal interface that, all is well and Australia's doing its bit, and tell our community that we are leaders in this field. Because I think the gap between federal conversations about climate change and the vast bulk of Australia and the vast bulk of communities that are regularly affected by climate change events, the gap's just growing, and it's a real missed opportunity and a real vacuum of leadership.
And Simon, I can hear the frustration in your voice. I know you've got a bit on today, so we'll let you go, but we really appreciate you joining us on Life Matters today.
My pleasure.
Simon Richardson, Byron Mayor. He's Mayor for the Greens Party in Byron Shire. And what a week they're having. I'd love to hear from you too. If there's a patch of coast that you visit regularly or live on, what changes have you seen over the years? And what changes do you think might help stem that tide, literally speaking? You can head to our Facebook page and pop your comment or suggestion up there. Professor Andrew Short is with us now. He's a coastal geomorphologist from the University of Sydney, who's toured almost 12,000 beaches in Australia. Andrew, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Hilary.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, Andrew, there's heavy weather and flooding in various places along the southern Queensland and northern New South Wales coastline. We're looking in detail at Byron Beach today. It's of particular concern. What makes the erosion there different to erosion from storms?
Well, first of all, I just heard what the Mayor had to say, and I'd like to congratulate him on giving a very good overview from a political and management perspective of what they're trying to do at Byron. As far as physically what is happening, is a perfect storm has happened at Byron in the last few months, not just the last few days. You mentioned in your introduction headland bypassing. Cape Byron, like many of the headlands in northern New South Wales, southern Queensland, sand moves along the beaches to the south and then moves around the headland onto the next beach. In this case, the Byron, it moves from Tallows Beach to the south around Cape Byron, eventually makes it on the main beach and up the beach further north. So it's a natural process that's been going for thousands of years and will keep going. Now, the way that bypassing works, though, it comes in pulses, not a continuous stream of sand. A lot of sand has moved around Cape Byron in recent months. There's a lot of sand out on the Cape. If you know Cape Byron, at water goes and the pass, about a half a million cubic metres of sand, a huge amount of sand is sitting out there, but is not getting through to where the erosion is occurring at Main Beach and Clark's Beach as yet. It will get there, but it's not there yet. So one factor is this delayed headland bypassing, which is not unusual, but not unexpected, but maybe a little more eroded than usual. And this has been occurring, it's left the beach vulnerable at a time when we had this fairly large seas from this east coast, low off the coast, 5 to 6 metre waves. They're eroding the beach anyway, what's left of it. And finally, we have had king tides this week, all this week, so they're causing even greater erosion. So it's a perfect storm of erosion associated with headland bypassing, with the storm occurring at the moment, and with the king tides. And the three combined have led to this terrible situation at Byron Bay.
And Andrew, it's really interesting to hear Simon before saying, look, we built a rock wall in various places, but what happens with a rock wall is that the sand disappears from in front of it, so it protects the houses, but you lose the beach. Why does that happen?
When there's a rock wall behind the beach, when waves run up a beach, some of what water returns out to sea, some of it soaks into the beach. And so that when there's a rock wall there, the sand, no water can soak into the rock wall. So all the water returns comes back down the beach and the process eroding the beach even greater than would normally happen. So rock walls lead to faster and more rapid beach erosion when they're encountered by waves. They also lead to slower beach recovery for the same reasons.
Another case that people might have seen, Andrew, earlier this year, some beachfront homes at Womberall on the New South Wales Central Coast came dangerously close to falling off a cliff after some big swells. How does the situation in Byron compare with Womberall?
They're two different situations. I mean, Womberall, there's no movement of sand along the beach. It moves onshore, offshore. What happened at Womberall is a major rip occurred. I mean, you had storms to begin with, but where the houses were most at risk, you had what we call a mega rip, a very major rip system, ripping sand out off the beach and out to sea. Coincidentally, that's the same location where three houses fell into the sea in 1978. And the council allowed them to rebuild on those same spots.
Really?
So it's nothing new at Womberall. Houses have fallen into the sea in the past. The June was restored and houses rebuilt and now they're being threatened again. So they didn't learn from their past mistakes.
No, indeed. Some other really fascinating phrases that Simon Richardson, Byron Shire Mayor, told us were beach scraping, where you scrape sand from further into the water up the beach, and sand transfer, where you shift it from one beach to another. How successful are they in the long term at keeping a beach together?
Not in the long term, because they're not adding a grain of sand to the beach system. They're just moving it around. Good temporarily, there's nothing wrong with it, to temporarily build up the sand dune or beach. In the long term, you basically need more sand. And so that can only come from another source, which is normally, in our case, it's offshore. You dredge it from deep water offshore and you pump it onto the beach, or you take it out of an estuary and pump it onto the beach. But you need more sand if you are going to build out the beach long term.
Is that what's happening on the Gold Coast, the coastal nourishment program, where they just pump sand in from elsewhere?
They have two programs on the Gold Coast. One is the beach sand bypassing the Tweed and the northern end of the Seaway, where the sand, which would naturally move along the beach, has been blocked by the training walls at the Tweed River mouth, the Seaway River mouth, and so they bypass sand under each of those systems 500,000 cubic metres a year, which equates to what would move along naturally. Now, even that is not enough to maintain the Gold Coast beaches. So what they do periodically, they take sand either out of a Tweed estuary or offshore of the Gold Coast in deep water and pump it onto the beach. That is beach nourishment. So they have a combination of sand bypassing to assist the natural flow of sand, plus beach nourishment to add new sand to the system.
I am learning so much today from you, Professor Andrew Short, a coastal geomorphologist from the University of Sydney. A couple more questions. Earlier this year, researchers in Europe put out a study saying up to half of the world's beaches could disappear by 2100 because of climate change. You disagree with that. Tell us why.
There was a whole group of us. That was a group of several European coastal modellers who model coastal behaviour. They looked at satellite images worldwide, and based on that, they used some very simplistic models to predict what would happen to every beach in the world. Now, here from the detailed work we do on the coast around Australia, you need to study beaches in detail. You can predict what one beach will do, let alone what the beach next door will do. And so to make those claims they made based on a simplistic model globally was just ludicrous, basically. And so a group of us, not only myself, but people from Europe, as the States, Africa, New Zealand, combined together to write a rebuttal. Because what real people who work actually on the beaches, and what we find at our monitoring sites around the world, whilst we're seeing a rise in sea level, we're not seeing any accelerated beach erosion as yet. Particularly in Australia, where they said 40% of our beaches would be gone, we're finding the beaches are staying fairly robust.
So
beaches are suffering.
Sorry, Andrew, yeah. Go on.
Whilst we expect beaches will begin to erode due to sea level rise in the future, we're not seeing any major erosion at present, and we certainly don't expect to see half of our beaches gone by 2100.
So the effects of climate change are still coming, but they're not with us yet.
It's certainly coming. It's not just rising sea level, which will ultimately cause beach erosion, but it's also changes in direction of wave climate. What's happening at Byron could in part be caused by more easterly storms, which we anticipate to occur with a changing climate. So changes in wave direction can rearrange the sand and rearrange the beaches as well. So people just think of sea level rise, but there's a whole range of other attributes coming out of the ocean that can also impact our coastline.
Yeah, those oceans are complicated systems. Andrew, thank you so much for making them a little simpler for us today.
Okay, thank you, Hilary.
Professor Andrew Short, a coastal geomorphologist. They look at how the natural forces shape our landforms. He's from the University of Sydney. He's toured almost 12,000 beaches in Australia. That's not bad. Michael, earlier we heard too from Simon Richardson, who's the mayor of Byron Shire.